the Improvised Movie Director podcast are performing live at the Brighton Fringe, Saturday the 20th and Sunday the 21st of May, 1 p.m. at the Temple Bar. Go to brightonfringe.org for details. This episode was recorded in front of a live audience at the Miller London Bridge. Sadly, on this occasion, our pianist was unavailable, and so all music you'll hear was added later on. However, everything else you're about to hear was completely improvised. The film's title and director's name were kept secret from the guests and team until they were introduced. Please sit back and enjoy this week's live episode of the Improvised Movie Director Podcast.
To be a true artist, one must never avert their eyes. And I say, it's rude to stare. Today's director, however, captures all of the beauty in the world with none of the smut. I'm of course joined today by my friend and yours, Clint Wager, director of Wild Wild West Side Story. Please welcome to the stage, Clint! Take a seat. Welcome, 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 Clint. What a pleasure it is to have you here with us.
The pleasure's all yours. I'm already tired.
Oh. Well, it is hideously tiresome being so talented, isn't it, Clint?
Yeah.
A man of few words. Well, look, Wild Wild West Side Story, what a hit.
If you say so, I had a contract with Universal that I had to make 24 pictures in 12 months, and this was number 24 of 24. I phoned it in from a cabin while I was eating chicken cacciatore, watching old westerns.
When those muse strike, they strike in the most unusual of places. And, well, look, talk me through. What was, other than the chicken cacciatore, the inspiration for Wild Wild West Side Story?
To be honest, I skimmed most of the script, but as far as I can remember, it's about an aging cowboy in the city who learns to love, I think, a chicken? That could have been my dinner, though.
An old aging cowboy in the city who finds a little bit of romance. Oh, I'm getting a little hot under the collar. Well, look.
Settle down, lady. I've been married for 55 years.
I was married for 55 years once, and, well, it was all right.
Tell me about it.
Well, look, Clint, that opening sequence, whether you remember it or not, was one of the finest pieces of cinema I've ever seen. We see our aging cowboy, Nathaniel, striding around in his spurs and his jodhpurs and whatever else cowboys wear.
Yeah, he made a lot of clanking sounds
every
time he walked
anywhere.
Drove me insane.
But he's there. He's got a lot of presence, Nathaniel.
If you say so.
No, oh, I know presence when I see it. I told you not to stare. Let's cut to that opening sequence where he arrives in New York City for the first time. Jobbers and all.
Some people say a cowboy shouldn't wear jodhpurs. Some people say it's too sexy. But I'm Daniel F. Clanken. And I do what I like.
Hey, watch it! Watch where you're going, buddy!
I may be metrosexual, but I still live my life by the rules of the Old West. I shoot everything and ask questions later. And I love farmyard animals. The rules of the Old West. I just take myself over to this saloon
clinky
here. What? The
clinky, clinky, clink, clink.
Sorry, I forgot I have the personality of a cat. Whenever I hear my own spurs, I go still.
Clink, clink. Clink, clink.
Clinker. I'm gonna walk very, very carefully. I'm sorry, Mr. Clown, I didn't see you there.
Okay, don't worry about it.
Anyway, I'll make my way into this old bar and see what I can find. It's an Irish bar.
Tough morning to you. Welcome. You don't look like you're from around here.
No, I'm from the Old West, and I've come here to New York. What a juxtaposition.
Well, yes. It is quite a juxtaposition indeed. Can I pour you a pint of Guinness?
Well, I've never had no Guinness, but I reckon I'll give it a try.
I reckon you'll like it. I really do.
You got a beautiful plumage there.
Thank you very much. It's my favorite outfit to wear all the time. I wear it all the time.
It's mighty fine. Well, maybe I'll be seeing you around. Say, what's your name so I can look you up in the phone book?
McCluckin. That's my name.
I'll be sure to remember that, Miss McCluckin.
Nice to see you.
I'm taking the glass.
Oh, he was a nice fella. I really find myself being quite lonely here in the big city. Well, what am I doing here? That's my question a lot of the time. And, well, there's only so many pints of Guinness that one can drink alone. Or one gets restless.
That really resonated. Only so many pints of Guinness you can drink until you get restless. I find mine's 2.5.
How many you had so far tonight?
2 1/3.
Oh, stay tuned.
Yes.
Quit looking at us.
I did tell him not to stare. So look, we've got Daniel F. Clankin and Ms. McCluckin clanking and clucking around.
Yeah, we had to replace that chicken 3 times during shooting.
Oh.
It kept getting eaten. Anyway, I fell asleep through most of the recording process, but what I remember next was a doozy.
Oh, yes.
McCluckin's father, the Irish father Seamus, he had a deep, deep hatred for American cowboys. So he was having none of this flirtatious romance. Similar to how you and I hate that guy in the front row.
He might tip me up to 2.5 pints. Okay, well, let's see that scene then with Seamus McCluckin. What a character, actually. A lot going on there. Can't wait to see it.
Yeah, you're in for a
treat. And he's having stern words with Ms. McCluckin. And why she can't be with Daniel F. Clankin or any other cowboy for that matter.
They're really stern words. Now, in the script, this is the only part I care about. We revised the script about 15 different rewrites to make sure the dialogue was as Shakespearean and stern as possible.
Yes.
And when you see it, you're gonna see why he won an Oscar.
Oh yes, nothing says ire like iambic pentameter.
Yeah.
They taught me that at RADA. In case I haven't mentioned it. Here we go.
I told you once, I told you 1,000 times. I don't want you hanging around with that man. Because you know the fun, it never rhymes. And you know you should be with me here to darn.
Oh, father, I told you once, I told you twice. I love this man, he's oh so nice. He came into the bar, and he looked me in the eye, and well, inside I thought I could cry. Father, you must let me follow my heart, otherwise we will have to part.
My little girl, my sweet blue-eyed chicken. You know that we're family, and family is McCluckin. And I don't want any ragtag slim pickings for you to go out and start frolicking with.
Oh, Father, I know I'm letting down the McCluckin name, but I just really can't play this game anymore, Father. This is my destiny. I need to go on. I need to find my true love.
Well, if you find your love, just know that you're finished, as I'm drinking my 15th pint of Guinness. I tell you this, and I wish you good luck.
I told you, a doozy.
Well, you know, I'm almost as lost for words as old Seamus McCluckin.
Yeah, you can see that I was drinking a lot when I wrote the script.
And I was drinking a lot when I watched it. I think it worked marvelously.
Yeah, hey, you're looking a lot more attractive now than you did when I first sat down. Speaking of which.
That happens sometimes, but.
Bartender, two more.
Well, look. The next scene I really enjoy because, actually, I'm so bored, you know, of the...
Tell me about it. Yes. You just will not stop asking me questions. I got a chicken in the oven right now. I left it burning. Speed it up, sweetheart.
Okay, okay. Let's get right to it. I'm fed up of it always being the woman that's pursued and it's always by the man. I wanted to see a chicken hit on a man, and that's what I bloody well got. Let's cut to the scene in Times Square where McCluckin lays it down. She's all breasts and thighs, that chicken.
Well, here we are in Times Square. I've had to take a part-time job as a sexy cowboy, greeting people, wearing no shirt, wearing jodhpurs all the time. Good thing I brought 25 pairs.
Sir, you look, well, mighty fine, if I may say so.
Would you say I look finger-licking good?
I would say that you look every sort of good.
Well.
You are the most beautiful man that I've ever seen in my life. And I would love to ride a horse with you. I would love to ride across and live in a ranch with you. I would love to do other things in the ranch with you as well. I'm just gonna say it. I would love to make love to you, Mr. Cowboy.
Well, you're lucky I'm a very modern man. Of course, I've come out here to New York, back in the old Wild West. We wouldn't do that sort of thing. We'd bottle our things inside and then let it come out in some unhealthy way. But over here in New York, you can do what you want. And if a lady wants to make love to me, well, I'm fixing to let her.
I'm from a long line of very passionate chickens. That's where I come from. You've got to understand this. Really, really, though, you've got to understand this.
There's a very intense look in your eyes. I'm thinking you've got some sort of strange lovemaking in mind.
You can see how my feathers are rising up. That means only one thing where I come from. It means that I'm going to take you right here.
Okay, this
right
is straight.
Now on this street.
This is straight into a territory I'm no longer okay with. I'm just going to say, if the roles were reversed, this would not be a 12A.
Well, that's. Just be glad that it's not.
What are you doing?
I'm.
Why are you opening your beak like that?
I'm getting ready.
Are you laying an egg?
I'm sorry, it's just, it's what happens. When I don't have any creative outlets, they just keep coming. That's how it works. They just keep coming. And I just need somebody to stop me.
Well, I think, ma'am, you need to ease me in gently. You know, if the roles were reversed and I came up to you and said, I'd like to put you on my mule and take you up to Alabama, I mean, you'd probably say, why don't you buy me a Tango Ice Blast first or something?
Well, I suppose it's not really how things work in Ireland, but it's...
Actually, I believe buying someone a Tango Ice Blast is a rite of courtship. It's very popular in Ireland.
I see that look in your eyes and I know that you're protesting too much. I know that you want to come back to my hutch with me right now. I can see, I can tell.
All right, but I reserve the right to change my mind at any point. And, I don't want to use any analogies here, but I don't make them drink the tea. That's what I was taught, all right? Now let me take your claw.
Right. Sorry, I hope it's not too sharp.
It's
clanky, clanky, clanky.
Well, Clint, I thought that was very tastefully done.
Oh, yeah. That was the final edit. You should have seen the 45 minutes of footage that we left on the cutting room floor.
No, I've read the lawsuit papers.
Yeah, they're still, those charges are still pending.
Absolutely. Well, look, you know, it seems like they've found an equilibrium in their relationship. They've normed on things like consent. Important. Remember, I didn't give you permission to stare.
What is your problem, guy?
So they've normed on those things, and you think, well, this has the makings of a healthy relationship with some realigned gender roles, but as long as they're all talking to each other and consenting, that's good. However, Seamus McCluckin,
oh, yeah,
all alone in his hutch,
oh, no,
hatches an evil plan. He summons all of the other chickens, and they decide these two lovers, they must part.
Yeah, and I gotta tell you, we had so many chickens running around in this scene, clucking and bucking and other chicken noises, that oftentimes it got confusing as to what the plot was. But don't worry, you're gonna be able to tell when you see this scene that it is the emotional climax of Seamus's entire character.
Oh my goodness, well, let's see it.
I'm glad that. I'm glad. That. Well, that's settled.
I don't know about you, but that made me hungry. Hey, bartender, can we get a couple of chicken katsus up here?
I like your style, Clint. I didn't think I would, but I do.
Yeah, no, I'm still on the fence about you.
Don't worry, you'll come around. Well, look, Seamus and his chickens, they've hatched a plan to split them up. And, well, the way they do it, it's pretty gory, Clint, isn't it?
Yeah, it's NC-17, but it's done tastefully.
Which is important.
Now, you can't do a Western movie without a little bit of violence.
Absolutely.
Now, in this scene, we finally see a face-off between Seamus and Nathaniel. And I think you're going to be very surprised by the outcome.
I was surprised by the whole film. When she turned out to be a chicken, I was shook. Okay, let's cut to the face-off.
So you're saying you'll never accept me into your family, McCluckin?
I don't want guys like you with your jodhpurs and your hats and your clunky, clunky, clunky boots coming into my hutch and taking my daughter. I have a very particular set of skills. Skills that will make me a nightmare for people like you.
Well, why? Go on, please finish your monologue.
If you pursue her, well, I have found you. And with this gun, I do intend to kill you.
Daddy, no! No, please don't shoot him. You've got to know that it was completely me. I came on to him. He was unsure, to be honest, at first. In fact, I'm still not entirely sure whether he wants this to be happening at all, but here he is.
I'm on board for the plot's sake.
So it was
what every woman wants to hear.
So it was you all along.
Oh, Daddy, you wouldn't shoot your own chick. Surely not.
It's Sunday and we're out of roast.
Oh, no. Oh, Daddy, no. No.
Well, if you're gonna shoot a chick, you'll have to make it two. I'll take off my 10-gallon hat to reveal. I am a rooster. Why'd you think I wore these jodhpurs? It was to hide my chicken's feet. And it was never spurs. It was talons. That's why I had to leave the West.
Mother Clucker. Well, you're one of us. And if you're one of us, then so be it. My gun's going away and you're part of our family. That's what.
Oh, Daddy. We can be together. We don't have to hide in shame.
Take my strong wing. That's right. That's how we hold wings. Just interlacing the feathers.
It's
there.
It's so intimate.
Don't hold wings too tight. There's holes on that. That's right. That's right. Slightly more. That's brilliant. Great.
Just still a traditional man, and I respect that.
I am a traditional chicken.
But Daddy, will you agree to the wedding? Will you marry me?
Of course I will.
I'm crying tasty chickeny tears of joy. Oh, I'm practically marinating with delight at the thought of you two. Oh, this is the happiest day I've ever been. This is the only time I've ever been happy. Oh.
The light is fading from his eyes.
What's wrong with you? Daddy! No!
He's falling into the position of a perfectly friable chicken. All his feathers have fallen off. He's been marinated in soy sauce from the inside. Someone made your father into dinner.
I think it was us. I think this is our fault.
But, yeah.
Well, I suppose we'd better make the best of it.
That's right. Let's dig in. What we used to do in the Old West was never waste a thing.
Well, I suppose then, Daddy, thank you for everything. You look delicious.
The
you
best,
smell delicious.
The best wedding present you could have asked for. A chicken dinner, winner, winner.
Sorry, I got hungry watching that.
Well, Clint, I've got to ask. Is this representative of your own love life? Of your own trials and tribulations with the institution of marriage, those 55 years? How did they end?
I didn't eat her, if that's what you're asking. The chicken bit was mostly because I was hungry. But I have also lost a wife. Oh, she's not dead. I literally lost her. We went on a vacation to the city, and you know the doors close on the metro really fast, and she didn't make it. And I wasn't going back for her. So I haven't seen her since. I wish her the best. But to be honest, I'm a lot better off without her.
Sometimes these things happen for a reason.
Yeah, well, now I've dedicated the movie to her. I'm sure she'll see it.
No, nothing quite says romance like dedicating one of 24 films that you wrote in a 12-hour period where at the end someone dies and gets eaten at the wedding breakfast.
Yeah.
That's romantic.
You get it, sweetheart.
No one's ever written a film like that for me.
I'm looking at you, front row.
Yes, step up. Look. I thought it was going to be a happy ending. I thought, here we go, McCluckin' and Clankin', the Cluckin' Clankins.
Nope.
No.
Nope. This was my final film of the year.
Yes, and you went out on a bang.
Yeah, a real bang. Not sex stuff. I mean, a gunshot. When Officer Clucky finds out that Seamus is dead.
Yes.
He does not react too kindly to a new guy in his city.
Yes. So let's cut to the final sequence. We think we've got a happy ending. We think it's all going to work out well. But, well, you set us up with quite the surprise.
Bang!
Surprising. Let's cut to that final scene.
I'm just so happy now that we've consummated our marriage several times in very awkward positions of increasing difficulty. I feel like we're a real couple, and anyone's accepted in New York City. That's the motto of the city. We take anybody. Something like that. Immigrants, I don't know.
I just feel so happy that we're finally together, and yes, the consummating was, well, it was wonderful. But, I can't help but feel a little guilty about Daddy. I mean, he was delicious.
It's okay. I don't like the breast anyway.
Oh, well, that's good to know for the future. Daddy, you know, he's gone, and now it's really me to carry on the McCluckin name, I suppose. It's a lot of pressure. A lot of pressure. But do you know what? Never mind. We're going to have a happy family. I've laid eight eggs even just this morning, so hopefully at least a few of them will hatch and we'll have...
NYPD, open up!
Oh!
It's me, the guy from the mobile phone from the first scene. It's me, G. Officer Clucky. And I'm here to tell you that you are gonna die.
No, please, that's right. Clucky, don't kill me.
I'm just a feeder, so can't you see? I've got some little wings and these short tail lungs. Gee, I'm so clucky, you're so wrong.
Well, well, well. I see you're trying to use music against me. Well, that ain't gonna fly around here because I am not good at musics. I don't get it, I don't get the beat, I don't understand it, it don't percolate my brains.
That sounded pretty rhythmic to me.
Oh, oh, that's quite, I like that. I'm gonna write that down. But, so you point that gun at him, so he, yeah, okay.
What are you doing? What?
I don't know, he just told me to do it.
Thank you.
People pleaser.
Now you've taken out Seamus. Seamus was our best undercover cop. That's right. He worked for us all the time.
Oh, so Daddy was a fraud.
Yeah. Oh. But a good fraud.
Would it help if I said I'm sorry for shooting you in the first scene?
Oh, yeah, it would. Though I've got a slight vengeance because I've got about 56 bullet holes in surprisingly healable locations.
I'm sorry, I'm just a chicken who was dressed as a man who came to New York City to find love. And if you want to put an end to that story, then think about how you feel afterwards. It won't heal your wounds to kill me, but it might make a fresh one for someone else.
In which case, I forgive you.
Oh no! Oh, it's happening again!
Oh, does anyone...
Well, I've
got like 4 taco shells in my pocket for no apparent reason.
We'll make the best of it. Oh, he is quite delicious.
I'd say this is justice well served.
Just a chicken dressed as a man trying to find love.
It's the Citizen Kane of crap that I've made.
I feel that. Well, look, Clint, you took us on a journey. You've made us all quite hungry. You've scared the shit out of Front Row Guy.
Yeah, hey, he started it. What say the 3 of us get out of here after the show? Is it me or is this woman relentless?
That I am. And in the spirit of being relentless, I have heard rumour, Clint, that you've got another film in the works, which actually isn't that surprising because you just write a lot of shit, don't you? So, can you tell us what's the next one?
Can you maybe ask me a little nicer?
Oh, I'm sorry. Please, sir, I do bequeath you. What is the title of your next oeuvre?
I didn't understand what that meant, but thank you. Mm. Yeah. Now that I've finished my contract with Universal, I'm free to write something that actually means something to me.
Ooh.
Something from my own personal point of view. So, I'm adapting Gordon Ramsay's Kitchen Nightmares into a 3-hour war movie.
Oh, I love it. What's it called?
It's called War is Hell.
Oh, how profound. Well, look, Clint, I'm Wyatley as well as Relentless, and I've actually got a trailer for War is Hell.
Oh, great. Oh, good. I
can't
wait. And
I hear you've actually got Gordon in it.
Yeah. No, yep. Gordon's in it. And you know what? We got Schwarzenegger.
Oh, great.
Playing the captain.
Mm.
And we also got... that little kid from Home Alone?
Oh, Macaulay!
Yeah.
Macaulay Culkin!
Yeah, but he's not grown up. He's still a kid
yes,
in this.
Yes, great. Yeah. Wonderful. So there's Gordon, there's Arnie, and there's little Macaulay in War is Hell. Let's watch it.
Right, yeah, okay. So, we're gonna go, we're gonna fucking kill them, okay? Right, wake up!
Sorry, it's been a difficult day. I've had night terrors.
We've got to go over there and kill the fucking Nazis. You on board or you're a fucking donut?
Ah!
This is weird because you're supposed to be the captain. Yeah, I'm acting like the captain.
Oh.
I'm just going to quake there. What about you? You're fucking 5! and you're in a war!
I'm really ready. I really think I am. I've taken on big guys before, and I've won out. So, I just think that I'm gonna do really well. I think that you can trust me.
Are you taking fucking piss? Are you fucking pulling my balls?
No, I'm being completely sincere. I promise.
This is a fucking war.
This is
a kitchen nightmare.
I think I'm gonna have a nightmare tonight about you.
All right, come on. Red team gets blue team. Off we go. Come.
He did the same to me. I've never been the same again. Can't you hear? Wow. Wow, Luigi. Let's get to the chopper. Wow.
I've never felt anything like it before. I should have had a firearm from birth. This is the most exciting day of my whole life. Thank you for taking me on, sir.
Yeah, that's all right. I'm here for you, yeah? We're gonna sort this out. Don't worry about it. I know you're in a lot of debt. I'm gonna fucking sort it. Yeah? I'm not fucking just here to take the piss. Yeah? Okay.
Right.
Coming this summer, Kitchen Fightmares.
That looks fucking awesome.
Right? Yeah. I forgot to mention we got actual Nintendo characters in it, too. That cost a lot of money.
Yes. Well, I'll be there, Clint. I'll bring 2 1/3 pints of Guinness. We'll get a restraining order on that guy, and, well, we'll have a really good time. Clint, before we go, do you have any final words of wisdom for our audience?
Yeah. Don't call me again. I don't like you people. I'm retiring.
Well, a privileged thing to be able to do. Ladies and gentlemen, round of applause for Clint Wager!
Good night.
The Improvised Movie Director Podcast featured Sabrina Luisi as Martina Minow, with resident improvisers Rory Vieira, Ryan J. Murphy, and Izzy Glynn, with special thanks to this week's guest, Chris Rosser.
This episode was filmed with a live audience at Hoopla, with special thanks to the Hoopla team and the Miller.
IMDP is produced and edited by Steve Tanner. Theme music by Matt Brown and Johnny Griffiths. Episode artwork by Marty Sears.
The Improvised Movie Director Podcast are performing live at the Brighton Fringe, Saturday the 20th and Sunday the 21st of May, 1 p.m. at the Temple Bar. Go to brightonfringe.org for details.
Improvised Movie Director Podcast is a 4 Foot One Films production.